You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
What's up, everyone? My name is Alseni Fedrick. Some people call me TJ, and this is my testimony. So my earliest memory is probably from when I was about 4 years old. And as long as I can remember, my favorite person in the world was my dad. And this is more so for superficial reasons, like him giving me anything I wanted, like clothes, candy, toys, sneakers, whatever. Like, he was just there for me. And this is more so because at the time we weren't living together. He was living in Harlem and we were living in Queens. And so whenever he would come, he'd come bearing gifts. But it wasn't until I was about 9 years old when I moved in with my father. And everything was fine. I had a normal life that any kid would have at 9 years old in Harlem. But things started getting a little shaky in the household when I was about 12 years old. And this is because my mom and my dad started having little conflicts. And this wasn't anything like physical, but they were verbally fighting a lot. That'd be about things like bills, food, contributions, taking care of me, whatever. And, you know, this didn't really bug me too much or bother me that much or hinder my life in any sort of way up until I was about 12 years old. And I can remember this specific instance where I came into the house after playing outside with my friends, and you know, I just came to get some water, something to drink to cool off, and opened the door, shut it behind me, and my dad goes, "TJ, listen." So I'm looking up at this guy, and he says, "Anything you do in life, do it for yourself and do it for your mother. Don't worry about me. I have my money, I have my job, my career. I'm gonna be okay. Make yourself happy, make your mother happy, but you will never make me happy. Nothing in life that you can do can make me happy or proud. I don't care." And I'm looking up at this guy who, like I said, was my favorite person in the world, could never do any wrong by me, and just wondering, why would he say that to me? Does he know how much I care about him? Does he know how much he means to me and how much his words mean to me? And, you know, I just started crying. The feelings that I felt, I can't even describe. It was just like a heavy sadness, disappointment, anger. To this day, I can't even interpret what it was, but all I know is that I just started crying and ran to my room, shut the door behind me, and just fell asleep crying. The next day, you know, I woke up thinking it was gonna be another day, and he wasn't in the house, he was gone. And, you know, it was around the time that he would normally go to Africa, because my father would go to Africa every year and then come back in the spring. So he would leave, come back, you know, the following year somewhere in like spring. So I'm just thinking, all right, it's normal. A year went, didn't come back home. I'm waiting for him, waiting for a call. Second year, no phone call, no anything. Third year, so at this point, you know, I'm just already, I gave up. I was just like, you know what? He said what he said to me and took off. You know what? Then that means that he doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. He isn't that guy that I thought he was. So, you know what? I hate him. And I resent him. And during that time period at home, it wasn't really great either, because my mom, she had a lot of displaced anger, you know, that she had towards him, and she kind of put it onto me. So we would get into verbal and, you know, physical fights. I remember this one instance where I had a bad day at school, and aside from, you know, home life, school was actually not that great for me either, because I guess all these emotions that I had about, you know, my dad and maybe other things going on in my life, my mom's relationship, you know, I just went to school and acted out and no one really knew what was wrong with me. So I got into fights, I got suspended, teachers didn't really know what was up with me. You know, people just thought I was a lost cause. I remember actually having to go to anger management for a short period of time. And anyways, you know, I came home from school and my mom was in the kitchen. She could tell I had a bad day. So she asked me, "What's wrong with you?" And I just told her I didn't want to talk about it. And I went into the living room, sat down, watched TV, and all I hear is the faucet turn on, water going in. She comes into the living room and douses me with some water. And I'm wiping this water off my face, and I look at her, and she just goes, Don't you ever, ever walk away from me when I'm talking to you. If I ask you a question, you answer. And I just snapped. Like, literally blacked out. Don't even remember doing it. I just tackled my mom, which is something I would never do. And my brother came, pulled me off, took me to the room. Just like, hey, this isn't like you. What's going on? And I couldn't comprehend. How could any teenager at that age really comprehend what was going on? And I was just so angry at this point. So angry at my mom, angry with my dad, angry at the world. And, you know, I just couldn't really comprehend everything. And later on, I did get a mentor who kind of helped me through my emotions, introduced me to Christ. And, you know, I started going to church more, reading the Bible more. And I felt like I was healing. I felt like I was getting somewhere in, you know, forgiving my dad and forgiving my mom for things and just starting to learn how to just walk a Christian lifestyle and just move on. I ended up having this mentor who started, you know, helping me work through my emotions, work through my problems, and taking me to church, teaching me more about Christ. And so I actually started feeling like I was healing, like I was learning to forgive my mom and learning to forgive my dad for the things that I felt like they did wrong to me. And so it just so happens that, you know, a test came along and I got a phone call this day and I answered the phone and it was a guy on the phone who says, "Hey, TJ." So I say, "Who is this?" And he's like, "It's Dad." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. How are you?" He's like, "How are you?" "I'm doing well." You know, a little chit chat, small talk. And I asked him, "You know, where you been? How's everything?" He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm back in New York City. So, you know, I wanted to see you. So, you know, I'm a little happy." I'm just like, "Oh wow. Okay, great. Like, you know, I can't wait to see you." He goes, "Yeah, you know, last time I left or I was there, me and your mom wasn't on the best terms. So I'm trying to come back into the house, but, you know, I just got to talk to her. And anyways, I should be there later on tonight, so come by or whatever." And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm going to be home, so I'll talk to you. And, you know, when I got home, he was already there. And I guess him and my mom already hashed things out. And so, you know, I sat in the kitchen and asked him, like, "Hey, what's going on? Like, where were you? You know, I was trying to figure out where you were. You didn't call me or anything." He was like, "Yeah, no, I know. Like, you know, I was gone. I apologize for leaving like that. I know that you and your mom were, you know, fighting a lot. She told me about that. So, you know, just try not to fight with your mom. You know, try to, you know, work with her. You know, she was here for you. She ain't never leave you like that before." And I was like, "Yeah, I know. But like, you know, what happened?" And we never really got to the core of it. You know, I just kind of, you know, took his explanation or whatever lack of explanation as, you know, it, and that's it. And I thought I forgave him. You know, I started thinking that, okay, like, you know, my walk with Christ and my mentor, he's taught me how to forgive. So I'm gonna forgive him. And as days went along and weeks went by, I started building up, you know, just anger again, feeling like I didn't get an explanation. Why did you leave me? You know, did you know, like, what I was going through? Like, you weren't there to help me through puberty or help me understand girls or understand, like, whatever it is, like, a teenager is supposed to be, you know, going through, that a father should be there for. You weren't there for me. You know, I loved you. Like, you don't understand the importance that you had in my life. And you just left me. So I woke up one day and I just decided I'm not talking to him. And I didn't talk to him for so long. We lived together for about another year or two. And then I went off to college and still I just didn't want to talk to him. And in the back of my mind, even actually before I went to college, when I was starting to get those emotions again and starting to feel angry, I wrote an essay and it was titled "The Negative Words of Empowerment." And it was about him. It was about what he said to me before he left. And I actually got a call from a representative from Syracuse University who wanted to meet with me and speak about my essay. And, you know, they were touched by my essay and my story and wanted to give me a full scholarship. And after that, I took that experience and that emotion, that hatred that I felt, as a good thing. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna hold on to these feelings. I'm gonna internalize this. I'm gonna use this for the rest of my life to propel me and to, you know, bring me to success. And that's what I did. So I got into Syracuse, you know, I went throughout. Anytime I felt like I was gonna drop out or quit, I remembered those words and was like, you know what? I'm gonna make you be proud of me. I'm gonna make you realize that you left me and you're gonna regret ever doing that. You're gonna be proud of me. You're gonna want to have been a part of my life. You're gonna regret those words that you said to me. And I graduated from Syracuse. I didn't even invite him to my graduation. You know, I felt like there was still more work to be done. You still have more regretting to do. So I held on to that. Grad school, same feeling. I'm going through all these different successes and I'm still holding on to these emotions, but I started to realize that no matter how successful I got, I still wasn't feeling right. I still feel like I wasn't fulfilled. I started wondering, like, you know what? What is this gonna do for me? Am I gonna feel fulfilled at a certain point? Like, what would happen if he dies? Would I be happy knowing that he died regretting leaving me for his entire life? Nah, I wasn't happy with that thought either. I was just like, yo, listen, if he dies, why didn't I just speak to him? Why didn't I just understand him, try to understand him, figure out if there was something going on at home back in Africa? I'm robbing my kids or my future kids of an opportunity to get to know their grandfather because of my feelings towards him. And also robbing myself of another part of my identity. But the most important thing that I thought about was, what would happen if I died right now? And I did everything right. I lived a Christian life. And I got to the gates of heaven and was just like, hey, God, let me in. And he says, you never forgave your father. You expect me to forgive you and you haven't forgiven your father. I thought about that and I was just like, yo, I can't live like this. I have to forgive this man. No matter how successful I feel like I would get or all the success I achieved, there was still an empty void there. And so, whatever. I left college, came back home and, you know, started going or trying to get back on my walk with Christ. And I actually started to feel like God forgave me for everything that I've done in college. I turned my back on him in a sense. And, you know, I felt like things were starting to go well. But at the end of the day, there was still that part that was bugging me. And it was me not forgiving my dad. Because how could I possibly expect God to fully forgive me if I can't forgive my father either, you know? So I reached out to him and we started talking, you know, a little bit of small talk. Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas, even though he wasn't Christian. Happy Thanksgiving. And eventually he invited me to come back to Africa. The last time I was there, I was 6 years old. So he just wanted me to reconnect with my family and things. And so I accepted the offer because I realized that if I was gonna fully forgive him, I have to do so with no escape. I have to be in his presence and deal with all those emotions right then and there. I can't just hop on a flight and run away. So I did that. And in the 2 weeks that I was in Africa, I've learned so much about him. And I felt like my dad has been more of a dad in those 2 weeks than he's ever been in my life. We had an emotional connection. You know, he told me about himself, his upbringing, my family, you know, and just a little bit of how he was feeling during that time. And I just came to forgive him, like fully. In a way, I just started to feel free. I started to feel like, if I can forgive this man for all the years of hurt and pain that he's put me through, then I can forgive anybody else. And this was one less reason for me to get turned away from the gates of heaven, in a way. So, I don't know. I just say this to say that for the people who may be struggling with forgiving someone, no matter how much they hurt you, forgiveness isn't necessarily for that person. It's for you. You might think that you're doing something, you know, getting payback or getting even by hating and resenting, but it's only gonna hurt you in this life and in the next. So it's not gonna be an easy thing to do, trust me. It took me years to do it. But just take the steps and try to forgive that person. You'll feel much better. I feel freer now. There's still more things that, you know, we're all gonna struggle with. There's still some things that I'm still struggling with, but I feel like that's one part of my life that I can proudly say is behind me. And it brings me one step closer to God. My name is Alseni Fedrick. Some people may call me TJ. And this is my testimony. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.